You know, the Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus is the most joyous epistle or letter that Paul has ever penned. It's called the Epistle of Joy. And the word joy or rejoice is mentioned over and over in our epistle. Now, listen very carefully. Verses 9 and 10, not 11, but 9 and 10. This is my third time in this church to teach through the Epistle of Paul to the church at Philippi. And every time I get to this verse, it's always deeper than I know how to teach. But I do know this. I'm going to do my absolute best to give you the manna that the Lord gave me. Amen? But I do know if you will embrace verses 9 and 10, or any verse in the Bible, but specifically the ones we're talking about this morning, if you really want to have great joy, then you need to understand what verses 9 and 10 really mean. 11 is easy to understand, but 9 and 10 are the ones that you need to get into your heart. And man, if you do, you'll have a joy that will overflow you, I promise. So remember our outline on the book of Philippians. Chapter 1, we've entitled, it's kind of a divine outline to me. Chapter 1 is found in our outline would be Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, so Christ is our life. When we get over to chapter 2, we'll go to Philippians 2:5, and that's going to be our theme, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then chapter 3, incredible, verse 10 of chapter 3, that we may know him. Now, that doesn't mean that we know about Jesus. That means that we experience our Lord. Amen? That the word there in Greek is gnosko. It's an intimate, ongoing, experiential, and we could even call it experiential Christianity, even though that term has gotten a bad rap today. So we don't live off experiences. Amen? We live off the divine word of God. Then when we get to chapter 4, our text, that our goal there will be the strength of Christ. And so Philippians 4:13. Now, with all that being said this morning, let's begin where we left off last Sunday. The title of this sermon is, And This I Pray, Paul's Prayer, beginning in verse 8. Paul writes and he says, For God is my witness. What a word. How greatly I long for you all. Now, we know, like I said last time, Paul is a Texan. That was his fifth, that's true, that was his fifth all, okay? So he's got some Southern in him someplace. So anyway, God knows, he's my witness, I can testify before heaven how greatly I long for you all with the heart or the affection of Christ Jesus. Let me quote a scholar. He says this about that verse, Paul's love for the Philippians is beyond human description. Only God can understand and know the measure of Paul's love for this church. Verses 9 through 11 in the Greek, they're just one long ongoing sentence. And so Paul says, And this I pray. And before we get into this prison prayer, let me read Alexander McLaren to you. He says, If all men in pulpits could say what Paul said of the Philippians, and all men in the pews could deserve to have it said of them, the world would feel the power of a quickened church. Boy, that's a good word. So Paul opens up in verse 9. He's praying. This is his prayer. And you know what? Paul's prayers, as I said last Sunday, they put us to shame, don't they? Oh, what a rebuke. You know, and the way he prays. And he says, And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That your love would grow in depth and discernment and knowledge and all those things. And Paul, when he says, I pray, he used the highest form of love, and that word is agape. And agape is supernatural love, amen? That's God's love. It's a John 3:16 love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So this love, listen carefully now, agape is not necessarily a feeling. Do you understand? No, it's not a feeling. It's agape is a deliberate love from our hearts to someone else. It's a deliberate love. It's an act of our will. And the reason I know that is for us to love one another, is that a command? So it can't be speaking of emotion if it's a command. Amen? We do it whether we want to or not. We say, Lord, you said it. We love you. Therefore, we're going to obey you. Amen? So Paul says, I want your love here to abound. This is God's kind of love. See, like, for example, love is kind. That means that love does kind things. It doesn't always mean that we feel kind. Does that make sense? So God's love, God is described in the Bible with this one word. God is love. 1 John 4:7-8, it says God is love. Everything that God does, he does in love because he is love. Unchanging love, uncaused love, unconditional love that never moves up, never moves down. God is love. Amen? And he loves us this morning, and we love him. The church at Philippi, those guys, they were already in love with each other, and they were already in love with God. They were a loving church. So Paul did something. I want you to notice. He prayed that the love that was in them, that God, the Holy Spirit, had placed, would start exploding, would start abounding, would start overflowing. And then he uses a word now, or a phrase. He says, still more and more. Let's say that together. Still more and more. What does that tell us about what Paul's praying? He knows while he's praying this prayer for them, and let's say for us as well, that loving one another, love is an ongoing, growing process. Amen? Isn't it? You better believe it. You know, we learn to love because the love of God is in our hearts. Romans 5:5. It says, "Hope. This hope does not disappoint, for the love of God, the agape of God, God's supernatural love, has been shed abroad in our hearts, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit that lives in us." Amen? So this love becomes richer. It becomes more pure. It becomes more defined. The longer you walk with the Lord, you should be a more loving person. Amen? See, because God is love. And we're living in a time, loved one, in the days that we're living in, if you look at many in the church today, they don't have a love walk. Not judging them, but Jesus told us, he said, listen, he says, in the last days, what's going to happen? He says, lawlessness is going to abound. Sin is going to be rampant. It's going to be everywhere. And the love, the agape, the love of many, agape, can only be used of a Christian. The love of many, not a few, the love of many will what? Wax cold. Man, Jesus was talking about the church. We don't want that to happen to us. Amen? Never. No. So Paul says, for this I pray, that the love in your hearts, okay, that agape, he says, for it to abound, but look where it is to abound. In knowledge and in all discernment. Now listen, it's so vital that this morning about these verses, because they are so precious, that when we think about knowledge, don't think about the knowledge of the world, okay? This is not ordinary knowledge we're talking about. We're talking about the knowledge of Almighty God. Amen? We're talking about God's Word. We're talking about a real knowledge, a full knowledge, a mature knowledge that can only be found by knowing God's Word and knowing the will of God. There is no full, real, mature knowledge, listen now, apart from the revelation of God, which is the Holy Scriptures. There's none. Not only that, listen, when love is absent, when agape, the love of God, is absent from knowledge, what happens to knowledge? Knowledge becomes limited. Not only that, knowledge then cannot be exercised correctly, nor would it be pleasing to God, because knowledge would then be operated from the individual without the agape of God. You know, remember when Paul wrote the church at Corinth? Remember how they were babes in Christ and they were carnal and they were suing one another, getting drunk at the Lord's Supper? You know, all the things they were up to, man. And then they were abusing the gifts of the Spirit. So when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So, but what does Paul put right in the middle of chapter 12 and chapter 14? Love. Why? Because Paul writes, and he says this in 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, in other words, he had the gift of speaking in tongues or whatnot, he says, but if I have not love, I become a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. So without agape, without love, Paul says, that person is nothing more than just a bunch of noise, okay? And he goes on and he says, even if I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, and then he says, and even if I have all knowledge, if I possess all knowledge, if I have a perfect understanding of God's word, that if I know all 66 books of the Bible, backwards and forwards, if I have not agape, if I don't have love, he said, you're nothing. I'm nothing. You absolutely gain nothing. That's why the Holy Spirit put 13 in between 12 and 14, because unless, you know, the gifts of the Spirit get so much attention, amen? And if you don't exercise the gifts of the Spirit God's way, which is agape, it draws attention to the individual and doesn't glorify Jesus Christ. Are you following me? See, that's how important the love of God, that agape of God, and operating in His knowledge is. We have to exercise everything His way. Remember Hosea the prophet, whenever the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel, he says, God told Hosea to prophesy to them, and he says in Hosea 4:1, he says to the tribes of Israel, he says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, again, the northern kingdom, for the Lord brings a charge or a lawsuit against you, against the inhabitants of the land, meaning all the people, the Hebrews and everybody else. And here's what, listen to this charge. There is no truth, there is no mercy, there is no knowledge of God in the land. Let me tell you what was in the land then and what's in our land now. He says, but swearing, lying, killing, stealing, adultery, they break restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. That is a sad, tragic charge against God's people, isn't it? Oh, dear Lord. Yes, that's old covenant. But you know what? To be in a land where there is no truth, where to be in a land where there is no love or there's no knowledge of God in the land, almost sounds like welcome to America, doesn't it? Oh, I pray, listen, toward the end, you know what's going to happen. People are not going to want the word of God. They're going to be lovers of self and pleasures more than lover of God. Oh, they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. There's going to be an apostasy, and they walk away from the truth of God. Oh, the things that are going to be coming our way. And then Hosea the prophet says this in 4:6. He says, my people, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of, I know you guys know that, for lack of knowledge. Why? Here it is. Because you have rejected my knowledge. Think about that. I don't want your knowledge. He says, I'll also reject you from, and he says, and you've forgotten the law of God. Listen, if God says, for my people, that means if you're God's people, we don't have an excuse for not knowing God's word. Amen? Israel, did they have the knowledge of God? Absolutely. Did they reject the knowledge of God? Absolutely. Listen, if you study Paul, if you study the way he writes and how he thinks in Scripture, you'll find that Paul the Apostle, he is afraid of those who operate knowledge or live and have knowledge, but they operate it without love. And you know why? Because Paul tells us in the Bible, he tells us that knowledge and that love and knowledge are exact opposites. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Amen? So if you just have knowledge alone, it can make you arrogant. It can lead you to pride. Amen? It doesn't build other people up. You just have knowledge. So knowledge without love. Oh, listen, but love, what does it do? It edifies. It builds up the other person and so forth. It's never arrogant. So a Christian, you know, we can be very mature in knowledge. We can know God's word and memorize God's word and meditate upon God's word, and we can do all those things. But to be mature in knowledge, we can also be immature in love. Amen? See, we have to understand how to do those things. Not only that, you can be strong in doctrine, but then you can be weak in love. Love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. And we have to beware of knowledge without love. You know why? Knowledge, does it have a feelings? Does it have an emotion? Can knowledge can hurt people? In other words, you can hurt people with just knowledge. Knowledge has to be coupled with the agape of God. And it has to be mastered by that. And the reason is because love, the love of God, the agape of God, is always superior to knowledge. Always. Listen, the way that you treat other people, the way that I treat other people, the way that we even treat God, our Father, it's all determined by what we do with that one word, love. The whole law is fulfilled on one word, that you'll love one another. Amen? Yeah. One of the foundational statements, vision statements of the church, you know what it is, John 13, 14, and 15. You know, a new commandment, Jesus says, I give unto you, that ye love one another, and here's the way we do it, this new part, the way to the same degree he loved us. By this, the whole world will know that we are his disciples. And it's so easy to have knowledge of God's word. You know, knowledge of God's word spoken can hurt people, can it? You can. I mean, if you've ever been to some churches, and I'm not beating up any church, I want them. It's none of my business. But they can take that Bible, and you'll walk out of here on your face because you just feel like God hates you. He doesn't love you. He'll never help you, and that you're worthless. That's not true. Did you know that? Absolutely. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:15, it tells us that we have to take God's knowledge, God's truth, and we have to speak it a certain way. It tells us to speak the truth in, okay, what is truth? Truth is God's knowledge plus love means that you are now communicating to other people correctly. If you just have knowledge and you minus the agape of God, the love of God, now you are speaking to other people incorrectly or communicating that incorrectly. Does that make sense? Okay. Now listen, it's so important that we, verse 9 again, look at this. Paul says, I'm praying this for you, that your love may abound still more in real, mature, living knowledge, the knowledge of God, and in all discernment, that your love and your insight, that you're not abounds where you're able to see clearly. Don't we need that today to understand and have insight? Let me read from another translation. It says, so this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. And then he says, learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head. You need to test your feelings so that your love is sincere, intelligent, and listen carefully now, not sentimental gush. Boy, that's... Even though I wouldn't want to say I'd like to read that translation all the time. But boy, he did a good job on that one, because without God's knowledge, how can love express itself? Amen? See, you have to have the knowledge of God so love can express itself with its actions, because love is a verb. So knowledge and insight, what does it do? It gives our love that's in our heart. It gives us direction to act wisely with other. We have to have a discerning love in our walk, okay? Let me give you an example from 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because Jesus laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods, in other words, your needs are met, and you have some money, and you can help other people, whoever has this world's good and sees, or literally, who discerns his brother in need, shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, just to say, I love you, you know, that's not what he says. Don't do that. He says, but indeed, in other words, action, indeed and truth. What truth? The knowledge of God, the word of God, which is the Bible. He says, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. so that abounding love, abounding knowledge, abounding discernment will know what we need to do. It gives us assurance. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You know, the priest and the Levite, they came down from the temple after serving the doing their duties, and they were going the way home, and there was a man on the middle of the road. He was half naked and wounded and bleeding and dying and so forth. And you know what they did? The priest and the Levite went up and looked at him and passed on by. Amen? In other words, if that guy could have raised up for a minute and says, do you know what the seventh commandment is or something? You know, and would they have known? Of course. Why? They were the priest and the Levites. They had all the knowledge. They taught the people. They followed the word of God. But they would defend their faith, but they never demonstrated their love. The Good Samaritan did that. I said all of that to tell you that knowledge without love is religion. Do you understand? It's very, very dangerous. Man, if you want joy, you know, listen, this is what I said this morning, actually, early this morning. I want to read exactly what I put down. I said this, if you want to find discerning love, if you want it all to come into play, then you need to restudy the verse that I just gave you from 1 John 3. The reason I'm saying that is because so many read that and but there's no discernment in that verse. And they just go, okay, you know what? This person has a need and I'm just going to meet that need. But that's not what that scripture is teaching us. Do you understand? It's easy to think that it is. And the reason I say that is because that verse is not talking about a hand out. It's talking about a hand up. Do you understand? It's totally different. You see, the Bible tells us over in Thessalonians, Paul says, listen, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. In other words, if a man is capable of working, if he's healthy and so forth, I don't mean someone who can't do work, of course, but someone who's capable. Paul says, no, don't go help that person. If let that person be hungry. Why? Because we must love the right way according to God's knowledge. Now, you see what I'm getting at? That is so important that we see that. Sometimes, you know, if we don't love others God's way, we're going to love them the wrong way, and loving people the wrong way, even though we're sincere and we want to do that, might get them in trouble. In other words, we enable them to stay in the lifestyle they're in because that's what they want. You remember in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up the temple to pray, and as they did, there was a beggar there who was crippled, and he alms, and what did Peter say? He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. See, he could have put money into the man's hand, but he would have kept that person exactly where he's at. Do you understand? Peter said, there's what I have. I'm going to give it to you. And that man was healed. That man was restored. Praise God. See, we want to be careful with what we do. We want to learn the word of God. We want to be knowledgeable about God's word. It says in Proverbs 15:21, folly is to joy to him who is destitute of discernment. But a man of understanding, a man who has God's word living in his heart and abides in it, it says walks uprightly. Look at verse 9 again with me. And this I pray, that your love may still abound more and more in knowledge, all discernment, and he tells us why, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Listen, you want to have joy. When you start approving the things that are excellent, which means the things that are vital, and all the things that are vital for us are found in God's word. Amen? You talk about joy that starts filling your heart because you find the answer right there. He says that you may approve the things that are vital, what are most important, what's best, in other words, and be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. The word approve there is used for testing of a metal to make sure that it's pure and so forth. The New Living Translation puts it this way, that you may understand what really matters. Phillips translation, which I like, I want you to always recognize the highest and the best. But this one is a translation I really like because it explains it perfectly. It's the English version, that you may be able to discern. We have to have that discernment, God's knowledge, amen? That you may have that, be able to discern what is best. Listen to me. the agape of God, the love of God, always seeks what is best for others. Amen? Because that's what God's love does. It always seeks what's best for other people. But what is best, sometimes it's not easily discerned. Amen? I mean, you know, let's say that, you know, the service is over and I say, you know what? I played the lottery and I won. Come on. I don't do that. But I'm just giving you an example. And so I have $1,000 and I say, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to all go down to, what's that chicken place? Babe's, thank you. Now everybody's ruined. No, we're going to go to Babe's. We're going to get fried chicken. They're going to bring it out in platters. There's going to be gravy. There's going to be biscuits that are so hot the butter melts into your hand as you pour the molasses and that honey on it. And you grab, you don't care anymore. You're eating just slobber. You grab the green, you grab those green beans with your hands and shove them in. Now, that may be good, but is it what's best? No. What's best is a piece of stinking chicken that's skinless and baked and no salt and no pepper and no butter and broccoli that's so hard you can't chew it and no iced tea but water. Do you understand the difference? You have to know how to discern these things. Listen, that's very important. But here's the deal. Loved one, listen, it's not easy. And here's the problem. We, as believers, we cannot examine, we cannot approve, we cannot discern what is best without the agape of God and the knowledge of God's Word. Amen? It can't happen. 2 Timothy 3:16, for Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. Profitable. No, for what is right. It is profitable for reproof, what's not right. It's profitable for correction, how to get right. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, meaning how to stay right. And it says that the man of God, that the woman of God, may be a complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Without the knowledge of God's word, without the agape of God, you operating the knowledge that way with his love, without God's discernment, which you get from the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Loved one, you're not complete. We have to have the Word of God. Amen? We have to have the knowledge of the Word of God. And we have to beware what we approve, because if we approve things that are wrong and we believe they're true, they stay right there, don't they? And they can get us in a lot of trouble. So the purpose of all of the knowledge of the discernment of God and us approving all of this, approving what is vital, the purpose of all of it is so we'll know what to do. You know, when we get over to chapter 3, verse 10, like I quoted earlier, listen, the goal of the believer is to know him, to know Jesus intimately, sincerely, to walk with him, to travel with him through this life, to follow him, amen? To experience our Lord, to experience the Holy Spirit, the power of God. You know, remember what's vital, for example, in Martha and Mary. Remember when Jesus was at their house and Martha was all upset because she was in there doing the dishes and cooking and everything and you know, went out and said, Lord, can you not make my sister come in here and work with me? You know, I love the Lord. Oh, Martha, Martha, you're so troubled. You're troubled about many things. Get back in that kitchen. No, he didn't. No, what did he do? He looked at them both, Mary and Martha, because see, where was Mary at? At the feet. And Jesus looked, and you know what he said? He said in Luke 10:42, he says, but one thing is needed. One thing is vital. One thing, it needs to be approved with excellence. Are you following me? He says, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will never be taken away from her. Meaning, she was at the feet of the Lord. She was listening to the Lord. Loved one, verse 9 and 10, they are vital. They are vital that you put those into practice and you talk about joy. You'll find out, you know, you'll find out how to live in marriage. You'll have how to improve your marriage. You get where I'm going. You can approve it because the Word of God tells us the knowledge of God. Now, look at verse 10. that you approve the things, again, what things? The things that are excellent, the things that are vital, and that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, meaning the rapture of the church. The word sincere there means to be tested by sunlight. Matter of fact, the first part of that word means sun. And so it means that you could be held up to the light, if you will. And when they saw you, you're transparent, you're pure, you are a person of integrity. The other word there, when it tells us, what's the next word? Without offense. That word talks about that we don't lead others astray. We're not a stumbling block for our brother or our sister. We don't lead them into sin. Amen? And then it tells us till the day of Christ, the catch away of the church when we're removed. Praise the Lord. And we're going to stand before the one who died for us, the one who loves us, the one who will never leave us nor forsake us, and the one who paid the penalty of our sin debt. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he is going to judge us. Amen? The life that we lived on this earth. That's called the Bema Seat of Christ. That's a place of rewards. It's not the white, great white throne judgment, which we're not going there. Amen? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, for we must, it is certain, loved one, there's no escape, all of us, every believer, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema Seat of Christ. And why? That one may receive the things done in the body, our life on earth, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. But again, the Bema Seat of Christ is a place of rewards. So we need to be sincere and love people and do what God says until the day we go home. Verse 11, he says, this I pray, that you're being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are, or which literally come by, Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, this right here is a process, isn't it? Remember Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ. This is a process. This is a work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. We cannot produce fruit on our own. Amen? No, it's impossible. It cannot be humanly generated. The Bible says, or Jesus said this, he said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, here's the result, bears much fruit. And then Jesus says, for without me you can do nothing. Look that word nothing up in the dictionary. You know what it means? Nothing. We need the Lord. Everything that we do, we need the Lord, loved one. Jesus said in John 15:16, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Aren't you glad Jesus chose you? He chose you. When did he choose you? You were Ephesians 1:4. You were chosen in Jesus when? Before the foundations of the earth. Before time began. Dear Lord. He says, I have appointed you. I have set you apart that you would go. You're an ambassador of Christ. That you would go and bear much fruit. And what? All the fruit that we bear. Is it our fruit? No. Is it our righteousness? No, it's the righteousness of Christ. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember Galatians? The fruit of the Spirit is, not Bill. Bill's fruit is. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit producing it in my life. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. No. So Paul, in that prison cell, man, he's praying. All that we do, it should bring glory to the Lord. You know, Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify, not you, but your Father is in heaven. Now listen very carefully. We're not through. I just need 10 minutes. That's all I need. 20 maybe. No. These verses are critical. Verse 11, we understand. It's an easy scripture to understand. But verse 9 and 10, they are, you have to get this into your heart. I mean, I wish I was like a big, smart scholar, but I'm just a simple old man. If I have anything going for me, it's only the Lord. Do you understand? I wish I could articulate it from my heart, how deep these scriptures are and how much I want to live in them and how much I want you to live in them. I want this for me. I want this for you. So how Is there any way that we can make some sort of application to where we can actually start living and abounding in approving and all the things that are excellent that we know that we have the knowledge of God, the love of God, the discernment of God? Are you following me? Well, here's how. I want you to turn in your Bible and to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to make a quick application, then we're going to go have chicken, okay? Let me read a scripture while you're turning there. It says in Colossians 2:3, in whom, meaning Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, in him are hidden, listen to me, all, not some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you hear that? Not hidden from us, the hidden for us. Everything we need. We have the greatest source of knowledge and discernment and love in all of this world. Amen? And it's always found in Jesus. Man, it's perfect. It's unchangeable. It is divine. Now, if you want that treasure, it begins in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1. If you want 9 and 10 of Philippians to come alive in your heart, this is where we put it into practice. Look at it. My son, and what's that next word? If. That means there's a condition. That means there's something you have to do, okay? If you want these promises in your life, this is something you have to do. It says, my son, if you receive, if you welcome my what? My words, and if you treasure my commands, where? Within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, that's the wisdom of God, and apply your heart to understanding, which is the knowledge of God, which is the Holy Scriptures. Loved one, listen, what was the first thing you do? You welcome the word, the knowledge of God into your life. And listen, you have to do that every day. You know, this week has been a tough week for me. I'm not complaining. It's just been a tough week. And my time, my quiet time, and my Bible study, just for my personal study, you know, not preparing, but for me, you understand, has been kind of stolen. I have felt weak all week. Do you understand? Because I want to bask in the word. I always, when I open my Bible, I say, oh Lord, like the scripture says, show me wondrous things from thy word. Amen. When wondrous things come into your heart, what happens? You have the joy of the Lord. All of a sudden, your spiritual step is a little better, a little quicker, better, solid, if you will. Amen. And so it's so important. So he says, the first thing you do, you're going to have to welcome, receive. Come on and get into the Word of God every day, every day. And the next step, it says treasure it. Treasure His commands. And that means to store up the Word of God in your heart. The third thing, look at it. Incline your ear. Incline your ear. Okay, that means you just read it. You read it out loud or whatever. That means now what you heard, you put into practice. Does that make sense? That's what we need to do. If you want to live in verse 9 and 10 in Philippians, that's your very first step right there. He says, and yes, in verse 3, there's that word again, if. If you have to do something. If you cry out for discernment, is that one of the things that we need? Yes, it is. We just learned that. If you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, what is he saying there? He's saying that you need to have a prayer time. That's what that is. You have, if you're going to cry out, if you're going to lift up your voice, that means prayer. Every day you have to be in prayer. It's not that you have to be. You get to be. Amen? Now, let's go on. Here's that word again. If you seek her, what is that? God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's discernment. If you seek that as what? Silver. Man, in other words, think about if you knew right now there was a 20 tons of silver out there by the cross, would you go dig it up? You better believe it. We'd fight for it. You know I'm just joking. If you seek God's knowledge as silver, search for her, God's knowledge, as for hidden treasures. What does that mean? It means you start digging. You start mining. You have to move stuff out of the way. You have to move distractions out of your life. You say, this is my time. This is my time to be in the Word of God, and no one's going to steal it from me. No one's going to steal my treasure. He says, then, everyone say that word, then, that's a great word, then and only then you will. This is a promise. You will understand the fear of the Lord, and watch this, and find what? There it is. You will find the knowledge of God. Man, obtaining the knowledge of God is not found in just a simple devotional. I love devotionals. I have three that I love and go through. But that's just going through a devotional. It's not found in just, oh, I'm sitting here hearing the Word of God. Yes, this is how you grow. Okay, faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. Amen? But you have to apply what you hear. So this is when you start digging and digging and digging into God's Word. You know, after all these years, like when you've heard me say this before, John 3:16 means more to me this very second than it did 40 some odd years ago. Do you understand? I didn't understand it when I was a young baby Christian. I mean, I knew, okay, God loved me. He loved me so much he gave his only son that I not perish. I wouldn't go to hell, but I have everlasting life. But do you understand? But once you, as time goes by, the Word of God in your heart, when you meditate, when you study it, when you take notes, when you write and say, Lord, I really want to understand this word. I want to really understand what you really mean. You start growing. You start abounding in things that are vital. And not only that, you approve things that are excellence. Excellent. And you know what happens? There's a joy that starts filling your heart. That's why Paul prayed that prayer. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, all we have to do is dig. Why? Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes what? Knowledge. And it comes understanding, discernment. He stores up, he treasures up what? Sound wisdom for the upright. He's the shield to those who walk uprightly. Listen, you want the wisdom of God? Here's how you do it. Apply the knowledge of God and you'll have the wisdom of God. Amen? That's what we need to do. Listen, Jesus told us, he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the winds came and the waves came, the storms of life came. Did that house fall? No. But he who hears these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them not, I liken him unto a foolish man who built his house, his life, on sand. And you know the story. That house fell, didn't it? We are living in times right now that we truly need spiritual discernment of the things that are going on. There's like a warfare in the heavenlies like I have never seen. It's like every day it's a war, isn't it? And the things that we're experiencing, the things that we're going through, the fear of the vaccine, or the fear of not getting the vaccine, the fear of all the things that we're facing. Loved one, listen, I'm going to tell you what we need to do right now, because we're in dangerous times. Our nation is in dangerous times. Today, the church must move away from churchianity and move into Christianity. We must run from the tree of the tree of, what is it? Tree of, yes, of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. See, the tree was good, but it was also evil. Does that make sense? See, it only produces death. The knowledge of this world, the wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. Boy, we need the knowledge of God. Apply the knowledge of God. We need to run from the world system, loved one, and we need to embrace the tree of life, meaning the one who hung him on the tree. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen carefully, one more scripture, and then we're going to have chicken. Proverbs 1:7. You know this scripture with all your heart. I know you do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Did you see that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, The fear of the Lord. You love the Lord. You want to obey the Lord. You're under the grace of God, that you have the power of God, and you have the word of God. Listen, if you haven't started with the fear of the Lord, then you haven't even started. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's the starting place. The starting place. It's the beginning of knowledge, of finding knowledge. Knowing that God's word is alive, that it's real, that it will mature you, it will grow you up. Let me give you one more scripture. I know I said that was the last one, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know what happens when we run away from the knowledge of God? We don't apply the knowledge of God? Listen carefully. It says, because they hated knowledge, meaning God's knowledge, and they didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Well, they would have none of his counsel. They despised his every rebuke. Therefore, they're going to eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own, to the full with their own fancies. But whoever listens to me, whoever says, Lord, I have your love plus your knowledge plus your discernment, I can approve things that are excellent. Amen. He says, whoever listens to me, to the word of God, to the knowledge of God, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. God is so good. That's what we need. That's what we need. Don't neglect the word of God, loved one. Don't neglect it. Man, it is your treasure. Don't let the devil come and steal his word. That's what he does. He loves to steal the word out of the heart. Remember the parable of the sower, the tares and all that? Yeah, don't let him do that. No, and you know what? The devil, there'd be some, maybe you're here, you don't know the Lord. You know what the devil's doing? Man, he doesn't want you. Here's what you're saying. I wish that old man would shut up. I want out of here. You're probably listening on the radio right now. Maybe you're at your home. Maybe you're in your car. Maybe you're on your lunch break. Because if it's on the radio, it is on your lunch break. You don't know Jesus. He knows you. Let me tell you how much he loves you and knows you. He died for you. He paid your sin debt. And he wants you to be with him forever and ever. But there's only one way you can do that. You confess with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And God says, I'll save you if you believe that, if you confess that. So if you're here in this chapel, you're there listening live, why don't you do it right now? Say, Jesus, be my Lord. I confess you with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Save me, and he will save you in the chair, in your car, in your home, or on your lunch break. Father, we praise you. We thank you for the glorious word of God that you have exalted above your very name. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the sheep of your pasture tonight, tomorrow, that they'll go back and re-examine verses 9 and 10 and 11 and let it come alive in their hearts. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.